Well, good morning. My name is Stephen Riley, and it is a joy to be your pastor. It's an honor, and it's an honor to worship with you. I just sense the presence of the Lord in a number of real ways this morning, and I'm just like, Lord, how does it get any better than this? This is life in Christ where we touch heaven and heaven touches us. I also love the fall. How about the beautiful weather we've been having? Isn't that something? And the colors are just looking that much more beautiful. It really does strike my attention. And my daughter Jana, who's a very artistic person, has been the one to proclaim in our family to stop and smell the roses, you know. And it's to look at the colors right now, right? And so I just do that as often as I can. Well, this morning's message is called, Are You Voting Biblical Values? And it said in when you have big family gatherings with all the relatives and uncles and aunts you haven't seen in a while, hey, there's a couple of things you don't talk about. One is politics and one is religion, right? And things will go smooth through the whole several hours that you're together and that kind of thing. And people warn you don't get just enjoy each other. Well, we are a spiritual family, and we have different views and backgrounds. And folks, we're going to talk about politics and religion today. and we are unified in Christ. Okay, our bond, we have an eternal bond together through this having the same Lord Jesus Christ, and that transcends what's going on. Even in our country, whatever, we can have a bond and a love for one another, and not just because we're family, but because we love each other. And so I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about it. It is a free country with a secret balloting, right? When you go to the ballots this week, however you do it, early, here the lines may be very long, might be just wise and practical to go early, that it is secret ballots, right? So you and your spouse don't even have to tell each other who you voted for. It's a secret between you and one other person, God, right? And so nobody knows except you and God. So that is nice. That's great. That's part of being free in America is you don't have to tell me, who you voted for if you voted. And this message today is not trying to set up or start some kind of this is what we acquire as a church member. No. This is a free country. It's a secret ballot. You vote your conscience. In fact, one of the issues I want to just deal with in the first part of my message is one of these statements that I hear and have now for a number of elections is I just can't vote this time around. You know, I just don't like either candidate, and so I just, my conscience won't let me vote. And I want to say I'm hoping to change that over the next 45 minutes. At the same time, if you're conscious after this message and you pray about it and going this week, yeah, you better do what your conscience says, okay? I don't have any spiritual authority over you to try to make you or get you vote another way, all right? It's a secret ballot. It's between you and God. I do plan, though, just to be aware that to end our service with praying for our nation and righteous, wise leaders for our country, and that we as the people of God, we've got to do that. We can't forget to pray. We don't want to just talk, debate, get upset. No, we need to pray, beginning, middle, and end, right? We just need to keep prayer as far as our approach to our nation and be consistent and persevering in that. Because if we're not, who is, right? We are called to pray. So I am coming down watching the directions of these two parties that there are actually many reasons to vote. So if you're wondering, why vote? There are many reasons to vote. And one of the main ones is there's there's really two distinct, even I call them opposite directions, that either party is taking our country. And I'm, though there'll be obvious references to the Harris as a candidate, but it's, you know, we're looking at the Biden and Harris administration's kind of track record. We're looking at Trump's track record. But actually, folks, I'm not really referring to individual candidates in this teaching, because whenever a leader is selected to lead an organization, they bring with them not just themselves, but something else. You know, a head coach comes to UK, and what does he do? He brings his staff with him and the players that they're going to recruit. It's not just him. It's who he brings with him. It's an influence that goes beyond just the individual. When a new principal or superintendent comes to a new school system, it's not just their leadership, but it's those they hire to be leaders with them in the school system. So it's always a larger impact than just the individual. And so much more with our presidential elections. Our government, it has three branches to it. Just a little quick review, you have the executive branch, which is what we're voting about. Then you have the congressional branches with the House of Representatives and Senators. Then you have the judicial branch where all the courts system is in our country. And the executive branch impacts those other two branches in significant ways. When President Trump was president, he appointed over 200 federal judges in our nation. Judges have lifelong terms. They 20, 30 years, however long they can live and want to serve, they serve. And their laws that they, and the cases that they judge, can last for decades on the books, guiding precedences in our nation. So when a president becomes president, they have, it's not just a four-year influence. It's a decades-long influence. Same thing with the House of Representatives and Senators. When they present a bill to the president can veto a bill. So that executive branch can really, you know, really squelch the direction that we worked hard to get those House of Representatives, Senators to represent us there, and yet the president can veto what they send to the White House. And so this is not about a four-year term. This is about our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, because how this influence goes into the courts system, and even the Supreme Court, we think of that usually when we think with the president. Well, that was three Supreme Court justices Trump was able to get approved, and Roe versus Wade was passed for how many years to protect the unborn. And that's a powerful impact for generations to come. So I want to say this statement, and it's something that I'm really clear about here. Just going to say it in the beginning, that presidential elections have never been about an individual candidate or personality, but a platform that leads to policies that set a direction for the nation. And that's what I'm looking at. As a godly man who's in the Word of God, that wants the wisdom and truths of God's Word to lead my life and my decisions, I'm looking for the direction of a country, for the country. It's not their personality. It's not even what they've done in the past. And I'll say this, it's not even if they're a Christian or not, because I might not have that choice. It could be a non-believer that still sets the direction they're going and they're siding with, has more of biblical values in it than the other candidate. And then the word Christian has gotten so muddied on what really is. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, look at your life. Look at your decisions. How can you, you know, it's not biblical values. So that's even hard to follow these days on if they're a Christian or not. I want to say this, too, about why vote. Because it's an incredible honor and privilege. It's actually been rare in the human race existence of, if you take the biblical account, estimate of about 7,000 years humans been on the earth, that most of those years there wasn't anything called democracy. It was in Athens, Greece, around 2,500 BC was the first go at a democracy form of government. It was always a dictatorship. It was always an autocracy, a authoritarian rule, one rule ruler in that nation for 5,000 years, and it's been developing now for about 4,000 years around the world. And you think in modern times, democracy is we've evolved and learned from all of our past eras as a world, and then as the nations have evolved, and it's kind of archaic to think that there's still authoritarian, totalitarian rules in the world. Let me tell you, folks, unfortunately, democracy has been on the decline. It's called freedomhouse.org, and there's a few others as well that do these studies about what's happening globally in nations. And there's a couple of findings that how they released and summarized their studies that in the last 16 years, now that chart was from 2021 before that, that there was more increase of authoritarian rules in the world, nations in the world, than democracy growing in the last 16 years. It's been said that 72% of the people in the world live under authoritarian rule or autocracies. So what we're saying is that there's more than, so this move, that's what is stunning is the movement toward authoritarian rules. Because, you know, there'll be a country that says they're democratic, but they're not because of corruption and so forth. And they do like 60 studies in the, but it's in the world, it's moving twice as more countries are moving toward authoritarian rule than democratic rule. So the movement in this modern day is away from democratic rule. You and I have a chance to vote. This is a privilege. This is an honor. And I want to tell you, it comes from a biblical principle. The first words of our Constitution, it's called the preamble. I'm going to read it to you. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So, then the preceding words and pages are the law. That's the basic foundation of the law of the land, establish the law of the land. But the first three words, we the people. That's out of a biblical understanding. So when I use the word biblical values, I'm using the same term, Judeo-Christian values. Judeo being Jewish from the Old Testament, Christian being from both in the New Testament, that these values are biblical values. So we the people form this government, and it's out of Genesis 1:26. This concept that then God said, Genesis 1:26, let us man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That we are made in the image of God. Every person, even if they're a different religion than you or have a rough background, whatever it is, we're all created equal. Therefore, we the people get to form this government and we get to vote to make decisions about our government. So this is an expression that's been rare throughout the earth, and even today is being squelched, is being the enemy is attacking these nations that are more vulnerable, even our own, and freedoms are lessening and decreasing in the world. So the word gives us value in this preamble of the Constitution. We the people say each individual has value, and therefore we're going to have a system that allows them to vote. Now, you know, I'm going to say that it's a democratic form of government. It's a representative form of government where we vote our leaders to represent us. And so that influence of that leader is great. And so it's important that we choose carefully, and we choose. Because if we as Christians go back to that feeling, oh gosh, I just don't like either candidate. This is just hard on me. And well, then you're giving ungodly people the right to choose your leaders. Well, I know, but it's just, I don't like either one and their backgrounds and their history. I know it's rough, but which one has more biblical values than the other? Because that's who they bring with them. They bring with them leaders, hundreds of staff people and leaders that will affect all areas of the country, as the president has incredible influence with their staff. And they bring with them, so you're making decisions. It's not about a personality, but it's about who's going to choose the next leaders. Don't let someone else choose it for you. You have the ability. In fact, again, this is coming out of a biblical principle of being salt and light. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It's just a powerful passage. Jesus is speaking and he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So if you decide not to vote as a Christian because it's just bothering me, you are putting your light under a basket. You're squelching your light. It's one of the easiest things to do. It just takes maybe an hour if the line's long to go vote. It's one of the easiest things to do. You are salt, but if you just let the ungodly go ahead and make that choice, they will do it for you. They're glad to do it for you. I'll just give you a little example that they know. So let me clarify some terms here, right? And that right and left generally refers to right is conservative in your political views, left is liberal in your conservative views, in your political views. And that's been, you know, the words we've mainly used. What has happened in the last couple of decades, you know, 10 to plus years, with the, and generally the Republican Party was on the conservative right side, and generally speaking, the liberal on the Democratic Party. But the Democratic Party, the left, is different now. And they're not really the left. It's a far left. It's an extreme left. It's a woke philosophy. They like to use the word progressive. We're progressive. Everything else is archaic and old fashioned and doesn't apply. This is progressive. Let me tell you, folks, this is the most, this philosophy is attacking biblical values than we've ever seen in our country. And it's not that, why are y'all, you know, preaching about politics on Sunday morning? Well, because the far left is getting involved in biblical issues and trying to pressure the rest of the country to follow their progressiveness. And I'm saying, hold it now. I got to speak up. You're talking about my Bibles right here. And so I'm going to just summarize what I think has happened with the Rick Joyner dream. Rick Joyner is a prophetic leader out of North Carolina. He's getting in years now, but this was about 8 years ago. He had a dream that for me just sums it up. He said he had his dream and there was this great eagle flying. It was bigger than a bald eagle. It was this mighty, powerful eagle with mighty wingspan, and just the strength and the power of this bird was amazing. And then it, of course, had a right wing and a left wing. And then he started seeing the left wing breaking down and becoming attacked and hurt and damaged to the point where this wing was not able to balance out the bird and the great flight. And even though this was such a powerful creature, it couldn't fly anymore, and it wrecked, it crashed. And he says the left is no use to for now decades. The left and right balance each other. They had enough overlap and enough consensus where they could work together at times, and it balanced out, and there were swings back and forth, but it gave a stability to the nation. But now the left is something else. It's far not what it was, and it's broken, and it's this great nation is not able to balance it out anymore. And I believe that that's true, and I've just done, the research and watched what's been happening. This is important, not only that we vote, folks. I mean, that's an easy step. We need to get involved. I'll give you an example that just happened in our local area. I was on a thread, included on thread of four pastors just over a month ago, maybe a couple months ago, saying in District 5, where I live, it's part of, in Shelbyville, part of the city limits, that there was a no candidate for a school board position in District 5. And they said in this texting thread with several pastors that I've gotten to know over the few years, said, listen, all someone has to do is get approved to be a write-in. It just takes one write-in of one person to be in that school board position. And so who is it going to be, guys? Do you have someone in your church living in that area that could step in and be a write-in for the school board? And so I thought about it, and I texted somebody, and I was going to see what they said and see what the pastor said. And I mean, I was even saying, Lord, do I pray about this, if we can't find anybody? And then, over time, this, they did come up with a name that was the Shelby County Republican Party actually endorsed. You still have to write her name in, and I've put that name on the sample ballot, if you're interested in that. And the empty spot was because of and I don't know much about her background, but a liberal Democrat that used to run, be on it for many years, was just health reasons she wasn't going to run anymore. So she didn't put her name in the ballot. Well, now, for some reason, she is going to run as a write-in. Do you see what I'm saying? They know how easy it is to take lead in a school board, the whole school system of our county, and you've got to get your people in, and so they'll do it even if somebody's health is doing bad. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to let some, see what I'm saying? There is, people are wise who know how to use the system for leadership and influence, and unfortunately, us Christians are like, well, I'll just pray about it. Now listen, we're a praying church, so don't take that to discourage you to pray. But we want to be a people of action as much as we are a people of prayer. I want to go through fairly quickly, because you can find in your either on the information table we have in the gathering place. Thank you, Ed and Elsie Preston. Let's give them a big hand for them providing that information. You can Google it. You can find anything you want about these. And I'm going to take six areas of biblical values and, like I said, kind of hit them pretty quickly. And I want to say that these values, these are passionate areas, right, in our country right now. So much so that there is a hostility between these opposing right and far left and so forth. There's opposition and hostility growing that it does make our country feel a little unstable right now. That we're in a vulnerable place. We don't know if some kind of riots will break out or some kind of vindictiveness or some kind of, you know, statement here. And so we actually wanted to get this preparedness meeting this Wednesday night in before the election so you can start working on that because, again, things are getting unpredictable more than ever, right? And it's not out of fear, but out of wisdom. That you, as a home, you're for your family, there's some unpredictable season in our country, so you just prepare more. It's just a wisdom thing. You don't have to be led by fear in this thing. So number one area I want to knock on here is, or a touch on, is freedoms of religion and speech. And one area that I looked at, and I actually had pulled it up, is the published platforms of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The Republican Party platform is 20-some pages. The Democratic Party is 90-some pages. And I did not go to read all those, okay? But that is a good source to see where the direction is. That's what I'm getting at, right? That this party chose this candidate to represent their platform because that platform will develop policies over the next 4 years that will have a direction that will affect three generations. You see? So, looking at platforms and then just looking at the actions of the candidates already. Kamala Harris has been a senator, been the attorney general in California, so she has a long track record. Trump has been president before, so they have track records. And when it comes to freedom of religion, Kamala Harris was part of the administration that actually wrote the Supreme Court to rule against Hobby Lobby, which is a Christian business, that was objecting to the government's mandate to provide contraceptive and other abortion, and then and abortion type benefits in their insurance coverages. They wanted to criminalize, also this administration, the medical professionals, parents, and organizations that hold biblical values on sexuality. So these are basic religious convictions that have been allowed to function in private businesses and private medical practices and so forth, and there's been pressure that they've been able to give to that area. The Republican platform specifically states the right of every American to worship according to their conscience and to live out their beliefs in everyday life. And when Trump was president, his Department of Health and Human Services issued a ruling to protect religious nonprofits from the Obama administration's contraceptive mandate. And so we have these actions of their past. We know where they stand on freedom of religion, more or less on who you vote for. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is the foundation of a democracy. That's the problem with media outlets choosing one or the other. Because you have to work extra hard to try to find the reality of what actually is happening and what's being said. Because free speech, if the media doesn't mess with it, then we can see clearly what side what actually happened or what somebody actually said instead of each media outlet changing it so much. So, for example, for schools, the Biden-Harris administration, they were come against the banning of books that conservatives were trying to do to protect children from sexualization in these elementary school libraries. But in tech companies, and yet they coerced tech companies to censor books and videos and post online content. Mark Zuckerberg, just in the last couple weeks, admitted this in the, I think it was a congressional report there, that Facebook was coerced by the administration to censor certain things that were coming out. That administration also compared parent speech at school board meetings when parents were complaining about what was happening in their schools as domestic terrorism. The Republican platform says that the government should not collude to censor free speech, and the Republican platform wants to defund institutions engaged in censorship. When Trump was president, he signed an order that said federal funds should not go to colleges that don't protect free speech on campus. So these decisions affect our freedoms that our preamble, we the people, has given us from the very first three words of our Constitution, that recognize that every person has value and worth. Let's go on another area, family and parental protections. When Harris was in legislation as a senator, she voted against providing funding for school choice and homeschooling. The Republican platform is support school choice, and Trump also had federal guidance protecting prayer and religious expression in public schools. There's many more. I'm just trying to hit a few highlights and say this about Amendment 2, encouraging you to consider to vote yes on that. And out of our 50 states, there are only two, Kentucky being one of them, that doesn't have some form of school choice in their state. And so what may happen in Kentucky may take time to develop the years in legislation, but to give, and what I, the reason I put this school choice on, under my comments on family and parental protections, is that there is this push to take rights away from family, from parents, on educating their children, discipling their children. And so that's what we're talking about here, is that school choice is an example of getting parents more freedoms to educate and train up their children in the way they should go. Adoption agencies and foster care agencies have been hit hardest with this, where federal funding was by the Biden administration wanted to be denied funds if they had Christian values in their adoption or foster care agency. And then I read things where the Trump administration was allowing that freedom, again, to train up our children the way they should go. Before I get into the next one, I want to also give us some biblical principles out of the Gospel of John. John 1:14 says, "And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That we need to be as mutually as committed to the fullness of Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. And in times like these, when we're looking at political platforms and the truth and the realities that we're supporting, we get really passionate about the spirit of truth. And that's the season we're in. And yet God wants us to be at the same time mature enough to walk in a way that we have a fullness of grace and love as much as our passion for truth. I hope you're hearing me here. Because our ability to walk in both at the same time is a place of maturity and necessity to win the harvest in these days. Because if we don't have a commitment to God's love, grace, and compassion, just the truth, and we're taking a stand and we're getting passionate about that only, we are imbalanced and we present ourselves as angry Christian, angry at them because they disagree with us. And so we need to learn how to walk in love and compassion. And so as I talk about in the next example, for example, the LGBTQ plus agenda, that I want to express out of my heart that God loves all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He loves, and he loves you so much, he's willing to die for you. And same for anybody. So God's love has this equality on whether you're Christian or not, whether you're straight or homosexual. There is the same love, amount of love is available to us and them and whoever the person is. And so we need to walk in that and say that there is such a confusion that's being unleashed by demonic forces that we need to understand, wow, they are going through a really hard time mentally and emotionally with the struggles inside of them, and have compassion on them. And if you and I grew up in their shoes, it could be that or worse. A couple of the areas here in number three would be men and women's sports, as far as the agenda goes for LGBTQ and transgender bathrooms type scenario. And both candidates have been clear in their history and where they support for that. But one I want you to be aware of, that there is a movement even in Kentucky with Governor Beshear regarding conversion therapy. So conversion therapy is a term that is used that when there's counseling to help a homosexual or lesbian person, that to help them go through their emotional, mental struggles about their sexual identity or sexual orientation, that conversion therapy from the far left is saying that is wrong. You're trying to convert them back to being straight. And in fact, we will not federally fund that type of counseling and therapy. And it is wrong. And it's criminalized. It's wrong. It's illegal. I was in social services for a year in Philadelphia. It's one of my jobs as we were ministering in inner city Philadelphia and in house churches. And I was in social service, and I had a homosexual man as one of my clients that I served. And he was a background of Catholic, and he was trying to get his insurance to pay for conversion therapy from Catholic priest, Catholic counseling services. And the insurance company wouldn't approve that because it was conversion therapy. And so Beshear has promoted this, and I heard it came out just a couple weeks ago. I don't know where it went on, that he was trying to make and you know, that illegal to do conversion therapy from licensed counselors for homosexuals who are asking for it. Doesn't matter what the situation, if they're asking for it, it is wrong. And the greatest attack in this area is on children. That the gender affirming, which sounds so nice, gender affirming treatments of chemicals and hormones and even surgery that permanently damage a child's person's body for the rest of their life is what normally is called malpractice. You've permanently damaged a person's body. That should be under the malpractice. That's the code for medicine, is do no harm. And yet in May, at the Yale University Children's Hospital, director said, I work on orientation with children as young as 3 years old. And so this is a stand that righteous people must take to protect the children. Somebody protect the children. Now, the other area I want to say as well is that in the area of abortion, there's clearly two different directions with these two parties. And that let's do the both and. I want to walk in grace and say, I can't imagine the turmoil of being a young woman or being in a situation of an unwanted pregnancy and all the pressures and the anxieties and the people tugging you on different directions and the confusion and just the attack of the enemy trying to, take you down a certain road, and then the ramifications of that emotionally and personally for years to come. This is an area that we want to open big arms and say, we're here for you. If you're a man or woman that has participated in abortion or abortions, God's forgiveness is for you and healing of that damaged heart if that's something you're still dealing with. But it's been clear with both of these platforms, the left wants to have, far left wants to have taxpayer-funded abortion, and the far left wants to have a nationwide abortion legislation. And so again, this is an example where the politics has come over into spiritual issues. Where me, as a pastor, a teacher of God's Word, I've got to disciple and say, these are the principles and the guidance of God's Word. This is how we want to think as followers of Christ. One of the areas that, at first I would thought, and normally I would say, you know, I'm not going to put this area on because there's not any clear area of biblical stance there. And so I'll, kind of let you decide if there's any biblical principles to relate to this. But I'll tell you where I'm coming from, in my opinion, is that border security is actually a serious issue. That when the Biden administration came into office, I was saying to myself, okay, let's give this a go. They're presenting themselves as very compassionate. That's normally what the Democratic Party brings as an emphasis on compassion, humanitarian aids for those who are forgotten to step in there and really help. And let's just see how this goes. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It didn't seem to be a biblical issue. What happened, though, that over months and months and months of now millions of illegal people trying to find something better in their life, that the Biden and Harris administration did not offer some kind of new humanitarian direction and program to help them out. And I was surprised by this. I expected better of them. I expected them to say, this is how we're going to strategize for this and meet these needs. This is how we're going to help them. And we're not going to let just the border cities have to deal this by ourselves. We got this strategy and plan here and to make this work, and we're going to funnel them through this. And nothing. For years, for several years, nothing. It's just let it be. And the humanitarian crisis has gotten awful. Human trafficking has increased through these cartels who govern and rule through this whole migration of people. That's who gets the money. It takes like $30,000+ for someone in the Central South America to get to America. And I was talking when I was in Cuba with Tom O'Neill a couple years ago, $35,000. He knew a family, put all their money together to send a young man, and that all goes to cartels. And then what happens in the trafficking of under the cartels and the human trafficking of boys and girls is unfathomable. We don't even know. We know it's awful. It's crazy. And then they get to the United States. We can't help all them. And so it just continues and gets worse in our own nation. And so I see it as a humanitarian failure that was not about compassion in helping hurting people. The last one I'm going to mention, then I want us to transition into prayer, is Israel. And I thank God that America does help Israel with armaments and is their, and today is their primary ally during this war. And particularly the dome, that system that they have is very much due to the American military support there, and we're so grateful for that. I want to tell you, though, there are strange things happening with our taxpayer dollars. That is awful. The United Nations Relief and Works Agency, which we gave $1 billion to, that's UNRWA for the acronym there, the $1 billion to Gaza, and they know that UNRWA employees, some of them are actually Hamas terrorists and leaders, and they're stealing the supplies, and there has not been a stop to this. The Palestinian Authority, which kind of rules the Palestinian communities in the West Bank, we send them millions and millions of dollars. And I listened and watched a family that has started a ministry in the West Bank where it's not a two-state solution. It's allowing Palestinians and Israelis to live in the same area, and yet the funding can go to terrorists. And I, again, heard them talk about a family they knew where a man was just at the going to the store. It's a little, you know, neighborhood grocery store. Was stabbed in the back several times by a Palestinian. What happens is the Palestinian Authority, the terrorists, will give money to that family if they have a martyr. And they will give not just a few thousand dollars. This is money to support that family for the rest of their life. So that memory of that young man, he's the hero of the family. And killed an innocent man right there who was just at the grocery store. The other thing that you can even address is the anti-Semitism that's growing in our country that needs to be stopped. And I just want to say, kind of on a side note, because I haven't looked real carefully at the two parties on this, but Bonhoeffer.org, there's a movie coming out about Bonhoeffer's life. But Bonhoeffer.org is a pledge you can sign to stand against racism of all kinds, not just anti-Semitism. And you may want to do that. Let's go ahead and transition to prayer. One reason I want us to pray, and it'd be great for the praise team to go ahead and come up here, is that when a leader, a governmental leader or the Supreme Court has authority over those laws and rules, it's an authority. So they actually either bless biblical values or they can open demonic attack against immoral open doors. So parents over their children, they have the spiritual authority to close spiritual attacks on their children or to release blessings. A principal, the way they lead, they either protect that school and student body from spiritual attacks or they release blessings by what they say in their leadership. It's just a leadership principle. And so what happens, and I'll just give an example. I can remember this back in the day when President Bill Clinton, who was a very well-liked president in his personality, was immoral in the Oval Office with a White House staffer, And that was clearly proven in all the investigation that went on. Teenagers are watching this. I was a youth pastor at the time. And they're going, with the president of the United States can do this and be still be respected, still be in power, so it must not be that bad. It must not be. There's a release of spirits of immorality when our top leaders are open the gates of a spiritual attack. President Obama was saying that, and he kind of developed into this during his term about same-sex marriage and became supportive of same-sex marriage. And so the Supreme Court, and there are some moderates on there during his time of term, approved and voted the Supreme Court that same-sex marriage was now legal. That released an immorality on our nation over children of demonic spirits. So what these issues of morality that happen in the government affect the communities in a real spiritual way. Go ahead and turn the lights down as we change in this focus of prayer. There's two things that I want us to pray about in our closing here. One is that righteous leaders and wise leaders are needed. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Then verse 4, the king gives stability to the land by justice. But a man who takes bribes overthrow it. So we need to pray against wickedness and corruption. And we need to pray for God to give favor to wise and righteous leaders in this election. And then in a moment, I also want us to pray for us as a church, a local church, the church in our nation, because that's where holiness starts. It's with us. We can't expect sinners to have the freedom to live and walk in righteousness. And yet God not only wants us to live in righteousness and wisdom, but to be humble in ever becoming more and more like Him. So Lord Jesus, I want to mention a phrase from the Friday night, Open the Wells. Lord, please do not give us leaders we deserve. We, as your people, are asking for mercy over our nation. Lord Jesus, we ask for mercy that you give us and give favor that you in these elections. We pray that these elections are true elections. You protect the election process. Lord, that you hear our prayers, Lord God, and stop corruption in the election process. And that's on both sides, Lord God. We want to have integrity on all sides of the election process, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord God, for mercy in local elections here, state elections in around the country, and federal elections, Lord God, this federal election, Lord Jesus, that you would have mercy, that you would even speak to people as they're going to the ballot, God, that they would see this is a sacred act between that only you know of. And Lord, I pray that you would even speak and reveal your will for those people going to the ballots. I pray for your will for those who may not vote at all, who are Christians. I pray, Lord God, you deal with them and speak to them and empower them what you want them to do. Lord, we pray that these elections increase our freedoms, not decrease them in our country. That you create us, all of us, in the image of God, so we each have value. So we pray for our freedoms to increase, Lord. And Lord, we pray you protect the unborn. That in Kentucky and throughout the states, and what's going on right now with this in the federal election here, Lord, that you protect the unborn in America. Lord, we know the shedding of innocent blood brings your judgment. So we're asking for mercy, and help us, Lord, protect the women and children from abortion. Lord, we pray for the same, for a mighty healing wave to heal the broken hearts of women and men that have participated in abortions. That there would be such a restoration in their hearts and in their minds, Lord, that they would find freedom in their spirits, free of that condemnation through the cleansing of your blood. And they will effectively be able to say, stop, devil, the condemnation's over because I'm covered in the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord. That's what you do. You heal and you cleanse, and that's what you do for all of us. Father, we pray for the children to be protected from gender-affirming care, which is harming their bodies, their minds, and souls at a young age. Protect our children, O God, from these deceptions and these pressures, from the spirit of confusion. We pray, Lord God, that you reveal to them that they take the blinders off, that they were created beautiful in your eyes, and that their future is good as male or female. And Lord God, that you rejoice over them. Lord God, Father, we pray you intervene over the minds and hearts of children in our country and protect them. Lord, may we be a praying people, a people who love and have your compassion, even in a season where truth is being attacked, that hurting people will see our arms open of love for them, no matter what's their background or their orientation or philosophy, that we say, we're here to help you, love on you, and help you seek God. Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their land, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Father, it starts with us. We humble ourselves before you, thanking you for your mercy over us. We confess our sins, our weaknesses, our sins of omissions, things that you wanted us to do, and we ignored you and your word. Forgive us. We want to lead this nation in humility, prayer, and your righteousness. Your pure love. An unselfishness, a sacrificial servant's heart as a people of God to this nation. We want to shine our light brightly. It's your light, Lord Jesus. We want to be the salt and preserve and protect. Have mercy on us, and Lord, have mercy on our nation. I'm going to ask for the altar ministry teams to come up to be available for prayer. Right now, online, there's a phone number available for prayer so that for the next 30 minutes on Sunday morning, if you're watching online, you can receive prayer as well. If there's anything that's really just been dragging you down personally at home or at work, we want you to receive prayer. So I encourage you not to leave until you receive that prayer from a friend or one of these, or I'll be around myself as well. I'm just going to say a blessing. You can stay and during as they do their last song, or you can go here right after the blessing. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God, that you are more than enough in our lives. And Lord, we say yes to be a light set on a hill going into this week. That you shine through us for your glory and for the sake of your kingdom. We pray these things. I release blessing, blessing of health, blessing of peace, peace of our Prince of Peace, Jesus. Blessings of prosperity, God, that you increase us. Blessings of more purity by the grace of God in our lives. And blessings of the harvest into your world.